get you to pray with me again. Heavenly Father, we stand here, Lord, and are so thankful, Lord, that we're amongst friends, Lord. We're in your house, the house of love, the house of giving, Lord, and not you don't take from us, Lord, you only give. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We lift the name of Jesus high, Lord. We love him so much, and we just want to see him glorified and his name lifted up and him put in the right place and him given his respect that he is due, Lord. So it is a happy Mother's Day today that we're here for. And I'd like the mothers here, or I trust the mothers here, will actually leave with a gift from the Lord, because today is all about just one scripture, and it's about peace. And I'm not sure if it's all up and going, is it? Can't see. It's now up there. And I've now got my little clicker. Hopefully it works from here. Beautiful. So in Isaiah 9 verse 6, we see that scripture that we all know, we all love to sing. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And this is the verse that captures the title of my message, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So let's have a look at what peace is. Is my clicker working? Yeah, nope. Hang on a sec. I've got to hold my mouth right. I've got to get my thing in the right place. Is that the wrong thing? The other one. I really don't want you to miss the next picture, the photo. Great. Right, got to hold my tongue right. Hang on. Oh, it just doesn't work for me. Thanks, Penny. Actually, it's, oh yes, it's Penny. Okay, thank you. We're right now. Everything's working. So, our main scripture, and if you've got your Bible, open up to John 14:27. We're going to talk about this scripture and come back to it. In the new NIV, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, a gift. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So this is the gift that I want you to take home with you today, because Jesus, whom we love, has already given it to you. On salvation, you got your gift of peace. So I want to talk to you and bring it out a lot more. And so we'll be referring back to it. So it's spoken in Jesus' own words, in red in your Bible, and only mentioned in the Gospel of John. Oh, here we go. Can I get it to work? Yes! We're right now. So what is peace? This peace that he leaves with us. In Wikipedia, for want of a better place, it's the word shalom. And Jesus would have used this word. He didn't use our English word, which is kind of a little bit shallow for a big understanding of it. And so in Wikipedia, peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare and tranquility. And it can mean both hello and goodbye. And the Strong's, it says completeness, soundness, welfare and peace. So everything's bringing out more than just peace. Or our English word of peace. In a dictionary that I found online, it's the Jewish word of greeting. In Hebrew, get me wrong. Literally peace, properly said as completeness, soundness, welfare, from the stem of salam, shalom, which is intact, was complete, was in good health. And so what we're talking about is something that means a lot more. If you listen to Joseph Prince, which I do, he has the four words which I think are something like, health, well-being, prosperity, and peace. So lots of versions out, lots of people saying it means this, but basically what I am saying to you is that this peace is very solid. It means a lot of, lot more than just, you know, peace of mind. Oh, hang on, still working my stuff. I'll get two hands going soon. So this, the next portion is, it didn't work. Got it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And it's a legacy. It's something left behind by one who dies. So on the night before Jesus' death, he gives this. He bequeaths this. He gives an inheritance. So before you die, what would you want to say, or what would you want to be remembered for if you got the chance? Would it be the silver is fake? The money is under the squeaky floorboard? But this was really important to Jesus. You know, why pick this one? Why bequeath us? Why give us what is in fact his peace? Because we'll see that on the next slide, that it's more than monetary value. Did we do it? Yep. Don't you love this little snail? Hasn't it got a little cute? All right, so he leaves us his peace. My peace I give you. And he is, as you saw on that title slide, he is the Prince of Peace. Now, we're not talking about anybody's peace. If you got my peace, you wouldn't be getting much, believe me. But you got the Prince of Peace, Peace's peace, the Maker of the Universe, the God of everything, the God of love. And this is what he chose. This is what he said, right, I'm going, I won't be with them, I'm going to give them my peace. Yes, I did it. And it's not peace as the world will give. It's a different peace. If you talk about what the world wants, you see all those beauty pageants where this lady comes out and she goes, world peace. Well, it's not like that. It's not the absence of war. Because as you know, we've continued to have wars since Jesus gave us his peace. It's not being in a place that's very calm, beautiful surroundings, or, you know, owning a large property which has got gorgeous trees and a cow out the back, you know. It's not that. It's not sufficient money. It's not having even enough. Money won't buy you this kind of peace. It's not having enough fleshly comforts, enough things in our life that give us peace. Because, you know, you've seen a lot, you know, you've heard of, you know, people in mansions but never having peace, not sleeping at night, dying lonely deaths or whatever. So you won't get this peace anywhere in the world. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we need to keep lifting him up for what he has actually done for us. He also actually gives us a part to play, and I was very interested. Paul didn't tell me what he was going to preach on, but he talked on faith with an action. And this is our faith in action, because what he wants us to do is not let our hearts be troubled and not to be afraid. And it's like we've been given his peace. It's a fact. It's a legal thing. He made it sure. It was an inheritance. It's ours. But he asked us to play our part, which is to not let our hearts be troubled. And about 3 months ago, God got my attention about this, and I began to focus me in on my part that I have to play, that I have to let my heart not be troubled, and that I have to not be afraid. And I've made a little progression in 3 months. I've got my trainer wheels on, and I'm learning stuff. And on Friday, I've been very conscious that I was going to preach this message. And so on Friday, we were preparing to move to our new office premises for the missions for our university. And the deposit was paid, but when Paul received the agreement, it was very unreasonable. It was a very harsh, heavy-handed agreement. So we began to not feel right about signing that agreement, because it said things like, if I have to take you to court, you will pay all of our costs. And I'm sitting there, you know, we're thinking, hang on a minute, why would you have to take us to court? And they wouldn't take this clause out. They just wanted to leave it all in there. They were, the paint was peeling off the wall and a bit, you know, wrecked from the previous tenants, and they said, you will paint it on arrival and you will also paint it on exit. Well, we didn't receive it like that. And so we began to feel very uneasy, and we began to pray, obviously, about what to do. And I had lost sleep over it the night before, but I determined in my heart I was going to pray. And so I'm off praying in my car, driving into the office, and I said, God, I want to enter into your peace, and I want the enemy to take his hands off our purse. Finished that prayer, and my phone, you know, I've told you about my car and my phone, they're great. And so Paul rings me up, and he says, guess what? We're going to get all of our deposit back before it even hits the solicitors. So we were fine. And it was just a time where either I go into peace and I stay there, or I run around like a little chook and go, ah, this is too scary. But, you know, for me to be telling you this, for me to be saying, you have to let your heart not be troubled, it's not me for a start. Jesus said it, so let's get that straight. And also, it's not something that I find easy. You know, my father would beat my mother. My brothers would get, you know, solid punches from him. My father would get drunk. He would never keep the money. He would spend all his money and have his beer bought and be drunk for the first 4 days of having been paid. There would not be enough money for food. So I didn't start my life as a peaceful little child playing in the backyard or anywhere. No, I was the kid that went under the house and stared as my father had pinched. He'd run a pipe, a rubber hose, from the gas to the house so that he could steal the gas. And I knew it at a really young age. So that, you know, that is the kind of life and the starting point I had. But thanks be to God that Jesus is able to do anything. And here I am talking to you about peace and knowing a greater level of peace already in my own life, having practiced this and put it into practice. So, you know, I am asking you to begin to think about not letting your heart be troubled. I am asking you, like Jesus did, to not be afraid. And if you say, well, look, I've got bills. You know, my kids aren't talking to me. My husband wants an earth-shattering university. I've lost my job. I hate my neighbour. And the cat has smelly toenails. Whatever it might be, I am asking you to enter into a place of letting your heart not be troubled. It is the little things and the big things that clog our heart. It is the cares, it is the worries that clog us and stop us from being able to get through sometimes. And so I've practiced this for months. I've said, Lord, you said, let your heart not be troubled. Let me not be afraid. And so I practiced doing that, and it always has worked out. Something has always broken through. Something has always happened. There was a time when I was, I can't remember what even started off, but I had two thoughts. And you know, have you ever seen dogs when they attack? One attacks from the one side and one attacks from the other side, and they take it in turns. And these thoughts were attacking me one after the other. And I'm praying, Lord, I believe in your peace. Lord, I enter your peace. I let not my heart be troubled. And I just wasn't getting there. These were really being nasty with me and attacking. And so I said, all right, Lord, that's it. 5 minutes. Lord, I'm asking for 5 minutes peace where these thoughts do not even enter my mind. And then 5 minutes later, I found myself saying, Lord, that worked. Thank you. Give me another 5 minutes. That was the last prayer I prayed, because those thoughts just stopped. So you have to realize you do have an enemy. that you do fight. And he's not fair. And he's not nice. And he'll find your little tiny, the little things that really start to get in and bother you. But I'm saying that there is victory, that it does work to believe Jesus at his word, that I can let my heart not be troubled. Sometimes you would feel like, well, if I don't do something, nothing will happen. And it still works, is all I'm saying. Consider the ravens. This is in Luke 12, 24 to 26. And I've actually written it there, so you don't need to turn there. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They do not have storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you can, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? So I'm just trying to put faith in your heart, lending you the faith that Jesus, that these are Jesus' words, and showing you that God's already painting a picture, one of utter love for us, one of utter devotion. It's not a picture of, you look at this and you go, oh, this must be about food because, God feeds them. But I think there's more to this. Why on earth would you use a crow for this illustration? Oh, great. Excuse me for a second. Try again. Am I going backwards or forwards? I need a crow up there. No, I've come backwards. There we go. No, I need another crow, different crow. Oh, I was good with the photos. I was having a ball. So how much more valuable are you? Crows are detested in Leviticus 11:15 as unclean. They're considered to be evil in disguise by most people. I'm not sure about you, but their ark really gets me. And they roam in teenage gangs, so there are whole bunches of them. They're actually the smartest birds, the smartest of birds according to Google. As we know, they fed Elijah in the scriptures there. They were used by Noah. He didn't come back, but anyhow. They're known to imitate humans. They're playful, adaptable, and actually show empathy. And how much more valuable are you than a crow? If God can love an unclean bird that he decided was unclean, am I going backwards again? Oh, here you go. All of these are coming for you. Too smart for my own britches. So if God can look after you, he can look after anything. I'm still not in the right slide. Excuse me for a second. Right. So the crows receive gifts straight from the Father without working. They don't have to store them in barns. This is the idea that what God is trying to talk to us about is not food. Because if these guys aren't working, and yet God still feeds the most unclean, unlikable, annoying bird that apparently inhabits the whole world, because I had a look, it's in every continent. So they don't work. So what are we doing, slaving away, knowing that our Father is so good? Now, I'm not saying you go to being, I don't care, I don't want to work. I am not saying that at all. But I am saying that if you are pushing yourself beyond, there's a better way. You need to trust in Jesus. We all work. We all have to do that. We all have to bring a wage in. But some people's wages are a lot bigger. So why not believe God for something better for you guys? Because this is what this scripture is saying. He feeds them. He doesn't make them store in barns and stuff like that. It's about worrying versus rest. We can rest in him. We can trust in him. We can believe in him. And God actually wants our trust to get there. So it's about actually, more than the food, it's about God's ability to care for us? That's in question. And can we trust in God's ability to care for us? Another, straight after, he says, consider the lily. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Again, we're talking about that work. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed as one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O little, you of little faith? So a few things here. God puts so much care, so much detail into how he clothes the lily, which only is here for such a short time. And yet, his love for us is greater than a tiny, small, little lily. I have a rain lily. It came up. It was there for a day and it, you know, dropped over. It's gone. So how much more does God love us? The lily is a symbol of purity and of beauty. It has oil for healing and softening. It's here today and gone tomorrow. When stripped of its clothes, its petals, it dies. So not only it is the very health of that lily to have its clothes on. It does nothing. It literally does nothing. It doesn't work at all, yet it is clothed beautifully. It is insignificant with no way of protecting itself. It can be trodden underfoot by anything, cows, whatever. It's not like we go out and we start chomping on the lilies. We actually quite like them usually. Yet was better clothed than Solomon. And Solomon actually died young. How much more will he clothe you? So this is not... It's a more. It's as well as. This is not the absence of these things. We need to be clothed. We need to be fed. God knows that. He knows that very, very well. But he wants to look after us. He wants our trust. He wants our love. He wants our devotion. He wants us to believe that he is able to look after those, the crow and the lily, so he is able to look after us. So it says as well, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? The ravens didn't work for God's love. The lilies went and gone. Yet they were dressed in splendour. It's about God's love, not about our greed. So get the greed out of your head, get the works out of your head, and start to think of grace. It's not by works. It's by God's grace that we do things that are important. And he is able to abundantly look out after us. And it's about his abundance, not about us finding the abundance. He cares for us easily. And he gives us his peace, as we were talking about before. So Jesus gives us an example of the peace. So we've worked out that we don't really have to worry about everything. We don't have to do it in our own strength. We can let go and believe that God will do it and not keep hanging on to things. We can actually let go and believe that he is able. And so here's an example of Jesus' peace in Mark 5:34. And it's about that daughter that had come to him, and she's had an issue of blood, and she touched his garment. And then he said, daughter, your faith, this is the Amplified, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. So let's just pull this apart a little bit. The first, up the top there, it says, your faith has restored you to health. That first health is the Zozo one. It's the one where it talks about being saved, but also healed. Like Zozo does salvation as well as healing. And in the second one, it's healed and that it's not coming back. It's a permanent healing. So go go into peace and be healed is that permanent healing. So it was as she went into peace that she was going to be healed continually. It wasn't coming back tomorrow. I'll look a little bit more at this. Go into peace. The first one says go in peace. It's like your goodbye. See you later, go in peace. But there is a slightly more eloquent version, go into peace. And this is the second one. This is go into peace. To open the doorway of a great palace is what it means. To let down the barriers and the borders of the land. To journey through all of that blessed country. In a guy called Alexander McLaren, in an expository of this verse, he said, it is not the ordinary goodbye. Oh, actually, I just did that, so I'm not going to do that. The Amplified said, daughter, your faith and trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. So it separated. Her faith healed her, saw her healing. Jesus healed her from her faith. And then it separates it into that to stay continually healed, you go into peace. You go into shalom. Amplified says, daughter, your faith, your personal trust. Oh, actually, I just read that one. Oh, my goodness. They're all the same. It says at the end, go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. So Jesus knew that if he just left that healing at that one spot, then she wasn't quite through. She didn't have the next revelation that she needed to be into his peace, to stay into his peace, to dwell. Her life, he gave her a life-changing gift of healing continually, but peace also. The next one is the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4:18-37. Now this is quite long. I'll just look at my time. I'll read the short version. So don't even turn there. This is the little boy. The child has been out in the field with his dad. And he cries out, my head, it hurts. And dad says, go, take him home to his mum. And so they take him home, and she holds him on his lap, and about noonday he dies. And then she carries him up to the bed of the man of God that they'd built for upstairs, a room for him, and shuts the door and leaves him behind. Very calm for a mother whose child, only child, has just died. Then she sends a message to her husband, give me one of the donkeys, so I can hurry to the man of God. And he says, why? Basically, why today? It's not the right day, basically. But she says, shalom, it will be all right. So she saddles the donkey and says to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I ask you to. And she approaches, and the servant comes out and says, is everything all right with your husband, with your child? And the woman says, everything is fine. The second time, shalom. And then she gets to the man of God, falls down, and she will not leave the man of God. He can tell she's troubled, so he sends the servant off, says, put my staff on the face. Nothing happens. But then Elisha arrives with the woman because she would not let go of him. She says, I won't go home unless you go with me. And that focus on believing God will intervene for her. So she held on to the man of God. And he arrives, and the child is indeed dead, still on the bed. And calm, cool mum she knows what's happening. She just has decided that God is going to be her source. And he goes on, he puts the his body on there, and then on the, again, hang on, I just find it. He lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on his eyes, hands on the hands, and stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. He got up, he walked around, crossed the room, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes, and the woman received back her son. Now let me just see where I'm at with this. That was it. It will be all right. And she uttered the single word, peace. So there are many scriptures about peace in the Word, and I've tried to give you a very full picture of them, and I've got a lot of slides here that I may not get to now because time is slipping away. But basically in this one, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And what I wanted to, since you are members of one body, you are called to peace. And so what I wanted to say here was, there are times when if you will just say, Lord, you said I had peace. I let my heart not be troubled. I will not be afraid. Then it's like you unclog something that then the Holy Spirit can start to talk, and the peace of Christ rules in your heart. And then you will actually almost, you know, with a clear heart be able to hear from God instead of hanging on to your problem. It calms your heart, and the Holy Spirit can get through. Your cares and troubles can be unclogged by it. And I'm encouraging you to do so. I really am trying to encourage you to do so. There's the ability to multiply peace. That's it in the Amplified. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And in the New Living Translation it says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. We get to practice it. We get to multiply it. We were all probably captivated by Hawaii's volcanoes. And the scripture for that one is, though the mountains be shaken and though the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. My covenant of peace will not be removed, says the Lord. I think we're missing. There you go. Who has compassion on you. So they're actually real pictures of Hawaiian volcano that I sourced. I want to tell you that peace is worth pursuing, because it says seek peace and pursue it in 1 Peter 3:11. And there it is. And this is a scripture. I don't know, does anyone Pinterest? I Pinterest. And it says, I don't pursue God to get more. I pursue God because there is more. And there's a happy little fellow rejoicing because God obviously helped him. And I really like these wolves because they are focused on the prize. They are after it. They are in pursuit, and nothing's going to stop them from getting it. And, you know, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And we need to pursue the things that are what Jesus wants us to pursue. I think it takes a determination to pull it in, you know, to make yourself peaceful. Just this weekend, as I went away, I remembered I'd lost my glasses. And until Jesus Christ healed me, I happened to need these things. And I knew that I had no other glasses that would quite do it. But I determined, I thought, look, you cannot preach on peace and be worried about those stupid glasses that have fallen out somewhere. And so into our motel, we stayed the night. We get more rest that way. And we were just putting up these dresses, and out from the dresses, would you believe, felt my glasses onto the floor in the motel room. Only safe place. Like if they'd fallen out anywhere else, and literally these clothes were hanging up in the car, they could have fallen out any time. And so that was happening. Our son Josiah finds himself alone at this time in his life, and he loves motorbikes. And then I found out that this morning he was going to ride from somewhere in Europe, ride over to past Paris and get the train, the one that goes under, and you can put your cars on and motorbikes on and then get home. But he was going to do this non-stop. And we were talking about, he was going to do it over 2 days at first. And he decided he was going to drive the night as well as the day. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, I have to have peace again, please. Because, you know, there's no one there for him at the moment to be looking after him. And so he keeps it close, lets us know where he is at all times. And I woke up to this. I also woke up to we have a learning system and it was not functioning. And so there were emails ringing beside the bed because we needed to get this learning system had. So here I am sitting there, at least I had my glasses, but more things were happening. And I'm just saying it is worth the fight because I don't even know what's happening to the learning system. My beautiful husband, it's okay. Has been looking after that over breakfast as he did his mission message prep. So the Lord of Peace himself, not from you guys, but himself gives you peace at all times in all ways. Aren't they great scriptures? Isn't it just exciting? This gift is a never-ending, never always giving gift. That was another one, but I don't have time for it. So here's our scripture of today, John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. So it's not that peace, don't even bother with that peace. This peace is Jesus' peace. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. So I'm going to give you some homework. How about at home you start to guard your heart? You start to catch yourself when you're worrying. And you'll know because it'll keep entering your brain. And so you don't just let it enter your brain. You say, no. He's given me his peace. I will not let my heart be troubled. I will not be afraid. So you start. You do it. You memorize it. You apply it. Good homework? And catch yourself saying it again and again. So I guess you're going to actually have to memorize part of this scripture at least. The last part, but all of it's good too. And just in closing, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And I don't know if you saw that little guy before you, but he looked pretty happy being chucked up there by daddy or mummy. In my daughter-in-law's case, it'll be mummy. So fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. And this is what it is. It actually takes your faith. It takes an action. It takes you to trust so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is what we all need. And I want to just quickly give you acknowledgement. This series, Live the Let Go Life by Joseph Prince, was where this all started from 3 months ago. I had bought this series and I pulled it out, probably by accident. I just wanted one in there. And it became so deep in me. And the Holy Spirit planted it so deep in me. And I realized that Jesus, for the first time probably, that Jesus gave me legally the gift. And that he wanted me to apply it by letting my heart not be troubled. And I can honestly say that I was in a place where I was getting so under the weather by the university and everything that we carry on a daily basis. Virtually it's just decisions all the time. Decisions, no money, believing by faith, and that's okay. And it's exciting sometimes. But sometimes it began to really weigh me down. It was like the huge weight on me. And it was this, listening to this continually, and I mean I have listened to it for 3 months, so it's really in there, has changed me. You know, you enter the peace, just one of you, as a couple, if it's just one of you entering the peace, the other one gets affected. It chases a lot of strife away. You stop niggling at them, pestering them, being so burdened yourself that it affects the other because you have peace. And I know that Paul has heard me pray, let not my heart be troubled, neither be afraid, pretty continually for the last 3 months. And I can honestly say that I know that I'm a little way along. I'm not asking you to do something that has been easy for myself. I am simply asking you to realise that this incredible, great, great gift is yours, and that your part is to let your heart not be troubled. Okay, let's just pray. Lord, your word, it is so powerful. Jesus, what you said is so amazing. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit now would brood over people, increasing their faith, increasing their ability to trust you. Lord, that you would bring to their remembrance your word, that you would begin to lift them out of any troubled heart stuff, Lord, and lift them into a place of peace, Lord, that life, you know, the gospel is such a gospel of life. And Lord, the enemy doesn't want peaceful Christians, Lord, but we just stand in faith in you, Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that we would become exactly what the enemy does not want, a peaceful Christian. In your name, amen.